Well, as I've been announcing for the past Sundays, I have invited Eric and Tulip Agkawili to share their testimony. See, as we celebrate Christmas, it's important for us to remember that we're not just celebrating the birth of Jesus, but we're also celebrating the life that he has given us. And of course, that is eternal life and also a transformed life. And we are blessed to have Eric and Tulip share their testimonies to us because they are a testament to God's amazing, powerful grace and what it can do in our lives and in our marriages. So my prayer is that as we listen to them share their testimony, as they share the gospel, as they share the word of God to us, we would be attentive, we would listen closely, and we would allow God's word and their lives to be a blessing and an inspiration to all of us this morning. Eric is a triathlete, okay? He's 41, but he's still so fit. And he's also in the construction business, and God has been blessing his business. God has been blessing his family as well. They have three wonderful kids. They have been married for 15 years. Now, Tulip is the daughter of one of our elders in Banawa, in our main church, Dr. Vidal Redulia, who happens to be my pediatrician up to this day. So every time I'm sick, I still go to Dr. Bebs, and it's been a blessing to me and to my family and, of course, to my kids now. And so, church, let us all welcome Eric as he shares first, and then later on, Tulip will follow. Let's give the Lord a big hand for our dear brother, Eric.
Merry Christmas, everyone. When Pastor TJ texted me, invited me to share our life testimony, I texted a little bit late because I was kind of nervous, and I knew that every time me and Sister Tulip will share a testimony, there's always hindrances, there's always quarrels before testimony, but by God's grace, we are here, and we know that the enemy is not happy. He came to kill, to steal, to destroy, and by God's grace, we are preserved by God, and we just want to thank God for his goodness. And as Brother Sherwin is keeping asking me about the title and the text message, and we didn't have time to text him back because of those activities. But later on, as we meditate on God's word and remember about the theme that we need to deliver, and we come out with this theme, with this title, "The Greatest Gift of All." And before we start, would like to ask you to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning, O God. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Father, I ask that you help me this morning and my wife be able to glorify your name, O God. Father, speak on behalf of me, Lord. Cover me with your cross, Father God. Help me, allow me, Father God, to bring glory to your holy name, Lord. Father, bless every heart today, O God. And Lord, your name be glorified in everything that we do, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is the first thing that comes into your mind when you think about Christmas? Well, usually when it's Christmas, it's more on food. What? Gifts? My little boy says gifts. Yes, truly. When I was a little boy, I really loved opening gifts. But is this the real meaning of Christmas? We enjoy food. We do family reunions, receiving gifts, opening gifts. Is this a true meaning of Christmas? And how is it supposed to be celebrated? Is Christmas can be a happy day or it can be stressful for us selecting gifts for our children? Especially to the husbands, stressful to the husbands that maybe you forgot to buy your gift to your spouse. And of course, Christmas is a happy day. But we must remember that Christmas is not about us. Remember? We celebrate Christmas because we understand that this is the birth of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. The funny thing is, we are the one celebrating it. We are the one opening the gift, and it's not our birthday, diba? How come that we feel this entitlement that we open gifts, we receive gifts, but it's not our birthday? It's the Lord Jesus Christ's birthday. Christmas should be first and foremost focused on Jesus alone. This is a time that we do our thanksgiving, giving our tithes and offerings to God, just like what the Magi did during the time of His birth more than 2,000 years ago. Christmas is God's way of demonstration of His love for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, says, "We love because He first loved us." The reason we learn to love because Jesus taught us how to love. He enabled us to love. I would like to read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 21. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an anointing sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Christ. We are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. And this is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. The reason why we love, because God taught us to love. Even God commanded us to love our enemies. It's very hard to do it. So love is very important for all believers. But love is usually thought as a feeling, diba? When you feel in love, so it is focused on the feeling. In reality, love is a choice, and love is an action. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can see the love chapter. You can see that love is patient, that love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. So if you have text messages from your friend or from your enemy that you still store it in order for you to remember that you hate this brother or sister, please erase it, because love does not keep any record of wrong. And love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Love always protects. Love always trusts. So you spouses, you need to trust your husband and your wife. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. And love never fails. To the husbands, we are given this command. To the wife, they are given the command to submit to their husband. And for the husband, we are given the love command to love our spouse. And if a marriage will fail, the fault is with the loving part, because love never fails. So husband, you should continually love your wife. So there are four kinds of love, brothers and sisters. First, the historge, a family kind of love, the love to your father, to your mother, brother or sister. Another form of love is the phileo. This is the friendship kind of love, the love for friends, brethren, neighbor, and community. A third kind of love is called eros. Eros is the carnal kind of love. It's more on the physical needs. It's the love to eat food. It's a pleasure. It's love to doing things, love of sports, hobbies, etc., and even love for sex. So these are the four kinds of love, but the highest form of love is the agape kind of love. This is the unconditional and sacrificial love. And only Jesus is able to do this kind of love. No one can make or follow and or imitate this kind of love, only Jesus. But He is asking us to imitate Him, but only by grace. So this Christmas, a reminder of God's love, there are important things we need to know about love. Love is tied or is connected to obedience. Always remember that love is connected to obedience. Just like Jesus Christ, remember when he was praying, he was asking God, God, if possible, may you take this cup away from me. Jesus had a choice to back off, but he obeyed the Father. So he said, thy will be done. So love is connected to obedience. John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So Christmas is a reminder of God's love for us. The birth of Jesus was the key for our redemption. Remembering the sacrifices of the high priest of long ago. Year after year, the high priest offered burnt offerings to God and for the Day of Atonement. Animal sacrifices offered which can never take away sins. The picture here, brothers and sisters, is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. I will read in the NIV version. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, referring to Jesus, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for his sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. This picture, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and remembering of the priests of long ago. The priests of long ago, they have these religious duties. They performed it every day. And during the day of Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement, the high priest, he goes inside to this called the Holy of Holies and perform the sacrifice there. Sprinkling 7 times to the mercy seat, blood, sprinkling 7 times the blood of the animal sacrifice. First, he do the sacrifice for himself, then for the sacrifice of the people, so that there will be an atonement. In the picture there, brothers and sisters, this high priest was doing it again and again, year after year. But when this great high priest, Jesus Christ, he just did it once. Remember, he says here that, but when this high priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. The picture here is Jesus was 3 and 1. Jesus became the perfect priest. At the same time, he was the perfect sacrifice. At the same time, he was the mediator, atoning us. He was the one atoning us. He was the one reconciling us with God the Father. Remember when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, he said, it is finished, tetelestai. The Greek word means finished, paid in full. Imagine, our sins paid in full. Our sins in the past, our sins in the present, and our sins tomorrow, in the future, has been paid in full. This is the efficacy of Christ's death. And that's the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Just imagine the love of God paying our sins, even our sins that we'll be doing tomorrow. It has been paid in full, and we cannot fathom that kind of grace. And God is so good and so amazing. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Imagine, can you die for your enemy? Can somebody die for your enemy? I'll give you an example. Just for example, you're driving, diba? And everyone is in a hurry. There's heavy traffic. And someone tries to overtake you. What do you do? Di ba, the initial reaction is you want to get even, or you want to you want to overtake. I remember a brother sharing to us this testimony during our men's cell that he was going to church and he was kind of late, so he was trying to beat the red light, but somebody was trying to beat the red light also. So the next red light, the other one tried to overtake him. So he was pissed off, so he tried to overtake once again. So when he reached Capitol, he was at the back of this guy. Then when the go signal went, they were in a hurry. So he tried to overtake, and when they reached on Banawa, so he was still there. So again, the other guy tried to overtake him until he was very happy because he arrived in church. And the other guy also there went beside him because they were late. So they went beside each other. But no one opened the door. They were so embarrassed. So just for example, just in driving, me, I am very hard-tempered. So my wife knows it. My children knows it. When it comes to driving, it is really my weakness. So by God's grace, before I used to go down and try to reach out to the driver, but by God's grace, just like that na lang. Only by God's grace. And this is example that we ourselves are selfish. We want to be first at all times, and we don't know how to give way. And that is the selfish desire of our Quran. That is our nature. We want to be first. So this Christmas time of Thanksgiving, a time for forgiveness, a time for reconciliation. So remembering before I became a Christian, I can't imagine my life. It was messed up. And even Brother Jojo Chua witnessed it. I was really a wicked guy. But by God's grace, God led me to my wife, Sister Tulip, and I want to call her right now to first give the testimony.
Mayong buntag, good morning, and Merry Christmas to all. I think Pastor TJ already introduced me to you guys, so I don't have to introduce myself anymore. It's been 3 years since Eric and I first shared our life testimony together. It's usually just me or him, but we praise God for giving us this opportunity. When TJ asked us to share our testimony today with you, my initial response was to say no. Sorry, TJ. I told Eric, are you sure? It's Christmas. But anyway, but I was reminded of the passage in Psalms 22. Verse 22, I will praise you to all my brothers. I will stand up before the congregation and testify of the wonderful things you have done. And so here we are, standing before you to share with you what Christ has done for us. Eric and I are both the eldest of 4 children in our families. We were both born in the same month, in April, but different year, because he is 4 years older than me. I hope it shows. Love. I grew up in a born-again Christian family, while his family was a devout Roman Catholic. My father, even when we were still children, always shared God's word to me and my sisters. So even while we were eating in bed, he would always tell us Bible stories or, you know, share to us lessons from the Bible. And so even as a child, I knew a lot of those verses and stories by heart. On the other hand, Eric's father was a defender of the faith, of the Catholic faith, and Eric served as a sacristan during church masses. So, buutan jud kay ni akong bana, grabe. My mother died the day after giving birth to me. So I grew up with my second mom. My mom at that time was also not a Christian yet. So nasad siya yung mga flaws. So we didn't really get along so well. Sige, may kaaway at that time. So especially during my adolescent years, I became a bitter person and rebellious. I ran away from home a couple of times and dropped out of school also for some time. So I got involved in drinking. So I started drinking, smoking, and then doing drugs because of the company I was with. I searched for love because I thought I did not feel that kind of love in my home. I searched for love, security, and happiness in all the wrong places. My friends eventually got tired of me. Okay, mag house to house naman ko, asa ko mo, you know, where I would stay. So they got tired of me. So I was left homeless. I had no money, no food. In fact, there was a time I remember, I don't know if it was God's intervention, but I praise God for that bake shop. It's called Psalms 23. I heard it's owned by one of the members of Living Word. But the tinderas there would give me bread so I could eat. So it's like a dog on the streets. So with no money, no food, or friends who really cared for me, my drug user friends were either dead or in prison. At one point, I even thought of taking my own life because I felt useless. Wala na may gamit akong life. What's the point of living? Proverbs 19 verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." I'm glad it was God's purpose that prevailed in my life at that time. I was homeless, useless, and hopeless until the Lord led me to the man whom he had prepared for me. This time, I'd like to call again Eric to share a bit of his family background.
Sorry, I thank my wife for preparing this for me. Thank you. As what my wife mentioned earlier, I am the eldest of four children. I was born in Cebu but grew up in Manila. My father was a very religious man, but I knew in my heart that he had no relationship with the Lord. He was a drunkard, a womanizer, gambler, an abusive husband and father. He always encouraged me and my brothers to fight back whenever other kids would pick on us. And as a result, we became troublemakers in our neighborhood, school, in our community. My mother left him when we were in high school and was forced to work abroad to provide for us because my father didn't have a job. My brothers and I later joined this Acro fraternity at a young age for the sake of, you know, security, acceptance, and to have a sense of belongingness. We moved back to Cebu together with our father, hoping for things to change for the better. But it didn't. I became the president of the Acro fraternity in the University of San Carlos. And I got involved in so many fist fights, brawls, with our rival fraternity. I almost died several times during those encounters. I cannot forget the one time I was held at gunpoint. But I thank God that He did not allow me to die that night. Because if I did, I knew I would be in hell right now. I thank Him that though I was such a wicked person, He was so gracious to me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Lord led me to that one person who would someday lead me to Christ. This person is beside me.
So, finally, we thought, the love of my life. Or so we thought. I started dating Eric in college in the year 1997. We were both very young and impulsive and didn't know any better. I got pregnant at the age of 19, so we decided to get married against the advice of our parents. We eventually suffered the consequences of our disobedience because he did not have any job. I did not have a job as well. And we were always fighting. He was always with his friends. And then later on, he was into cockfighting, gambling. So he spent most of his time at the Sabungan. And we didn't have money. I went back to school, nursing, and I remember bringing mga sandwiches, juices to school to sell, to help out, you know. Okay, at that time, it was just my mother-in-law who was supporting us. And so the situation at home got worse. Lots of things were flying around, even mga canned goods, panglap. I would throw it at him. One time, he came home very drunk. I locked the gate. I was so mad. I locked the gate. He climbed over the fence. He had to jump just to get inside the house. And when he got in, I threw a knife. Pero I did not aim it at him, of course. But that's how bad things were. I became violent as well. In 2003, 3 years after we had our second child, my husband met a woman. At that time, he was already working. He met someone else there and decided to leave me and the children. And no matter what I did, I could not convince him to change his mind. I was so devastated. All these years, I had to endure everything. And then now that he has a job, he wants to leave. He wants to leave us. I thought that was the end of my marriage. And I realized that this was something that was beyond my control. And in that desperate moment, I cried out to the Lord. All those verses I knew by heart became my prayer. So even though I seemed like I did not listen to what my dad was saying before preaching to us, but deep in my heart, I knew them. Psalm 50, verse 15, "And call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." 1 Peter 5, 7, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." So those words came out of my mouth, and I just prayed them to the Lord. "Lord, help me." At that time, my husband, Eric, was at my dad's clinic because he wanted to tell him or to ask permission, tell him about his plans of leaving us. But then the Lord had a different plan. While I was at home in prayer, the Lord was also at work in changing my husband's heart. That same day of April 2004, we both surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrendered mine when I was at home. I told the Lord, "Lord, I know you are there. I've known you since I was small, but I never had that personal relationship with you. I know you as head knowledge, but I don't really have that relationship with you, and I want to have it today." And so I gave my life to him. He, on the other hand, also gave his life as he was talking with my dad in the clinic. And Dad was showing to him the Bible verses. And it's just so powerful, how the Word of God rebukes a person. And so we both made that decision on that day, and we surrendered our lives to Jesus. We made Jesus not just our Savior, but Lord of our lives. We asked him to change us, to be the person he wanted us to be. And that's exactly what he did and is still doing in our lives today. Since we gave our lives to Christ 12 years ago, our lives have never been the same. It's far from perfect, yes, but God is changing us from glory to glory. Our marriage has never been more beautiful and exciting, and broken relationships with different people have been restored. What we could not do, Christ did for us. We are both a product of the love of God's love. which he lavishly poured out upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The worst of sinners can be saved by the all-sufficiency of Christ. My brothers and sisters, God saved sinners like us as a testimony of his love, forgiveness, and saving grace. And we just want to give the glory to him alone. Let's give a big clap offering to the Lord.
Praise the Lord, church. Are we blessed? You know, I've always heard that both of them have this powerful testimony, but this is my first time to really hear their testimony personally, and I have been truly blessed. Amen? Have you been blessed this morning? Refreshed? And they have blessed us with their lives and with their testimonies this morning, and we want to pray for them because I do believe God is going to use this couple even more for his glory. And so, church, can we just all stand and let us pray for Eric and Tulip, because I do believe God has greater plans for them. Father, as we stand before you, Lord, and just savor, Lord, the grace and the love that we have received from you through Christ, we can't help, Lord, but give you praise and thanks for this amazing, abundant grace, O God. Indeed, Lord, truth sets us free. It sets us free from sin. It sets us free from our selfish selves. It sets us free, Lord, from the fleeting pleasures of this world. And it sets us free to find our greatest joy and satisfaction in you. Lord, we thank you for the life of Eric and Tulip, Lord. Their lives, Lord, represent grace, your mercy, and your love. And what you can do, Lord, to sinners who submit themselves to your lordship in faith and repentance. And we know, Father God, the enemy is not pleased, Lord, when a couple decides to live all out for you. And we know, Father God, they will be constantly attacked, Lord, by Satan. But we know, Father God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You have given us your word. You have given us your Holy Spirit. And you have given us your glorious gospel that continually sustains us day by day. And so we ask and pray, Lord, that you sustain Eric and Tulip, Lord, by your grace and by your love daily, O God, that they may continually declare your excellencies, Lord, your grace, this marvelous story, Lord, of the gospel to the congregation, O God. And I pray, Lord, that you would pave their way, O Father God. Lord, open more doors of opportunities for them to share the gospel to more people, O God, that more people would find hope and restoration in Christ Jesus. Lord, this is what Christmas is really all about. It's celebrating you as our Savior and celebrating the life, the changed life you have given us in Christ. Lord, we thank you for coming to this earth to live a perfect life for us, to die for our sins on the cross. And as we declare, Lord, in that song, Lord, you were raised again back to life to prove that you are the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, I pray for us as a church, and even, Lord, for those who have not yet experienced you personally. People may have had knowledge, Lord, but we pray, Lord, that we would have that kind of encounter, O God, that they have experienced, Lord. So I pray for those people, Lord, that they would come to saving faith in Christ today. And we know, O God, with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Lord, we give you glory and praise for what you have done and accomplished this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Eric, Tulip, thank you very much. Thank you, Tulip.